Okay, so today we are going to talk about the question of did Yocheved give up on baby Moshe? Okay? Now she puts him in the river, she puts him or whatever, in the Yamsuf, like, why did she do it? Is she just hoping? It's just like this is like a Hail Mary pass, at the end of the football game, you're down by you're down by a lot. You're down by a score. You're your own 10-yard line. You throw up a Hail Mary pass. Was this intentional? What's the plan? What's the plan that Yocheved has? We read that in the beginning of Perek Beis, in Shmos, Vayelech Ish mi beis Levi, Vayikachas beis Levi. So a man takes a woman, Vatara Yisha v'Teilad Bein. So this woman gets pregnant. She has a child. She saw he was good. She hides him for 3 months. She was no longer able to hide him after 3 months. She took a wolf, a bear, so she can't hide the baby anymore. She gets a wicker basket for him, and she puts it together. She puts the baby into the wicker basket. And she puts it by the reeds in the Nile River. And I guess what's interesting is she no longer can hide the baby. I guess my question is it more likely that the baby will live if she puts the baby in this wicker basket? Or is it more likely, I don't know, should she run away with the baby? It's interesting, why not continue to try to hide the baby or maybe run away with him? Maybe she should run away with the baby, hide in the forest, I don't know, hide somewhere. Right? And I think there are, perhaps the initial reaction might be to say that maybe she, who else do we find? Who else do we find about in the Torah beforehand about a mother who basically has babies in desperate situation and then she basically gives up on the baby?
Hagar.
Hagar, right. So we know in the story with Hagar, let's see if I can find this quickly. Just we find in Hagar in Bereishis Perek Chaf Aleph, so Psukim Yud Dal to Tes Zayin, we find that Vayashkim Avram Baboker Hagar. So Avram sends Hagar away with a loaf of bread, a pitcher of water. Vayitel Hagar Sama Shikma places, puts it on her shoulder. He sends Hagar and the baby away, the Yelet away. Vatel, and she goes and she wanders in the desert of Beersheva. Vichlu, so the water runs out. Vatashlich es hayelet, she throws the child, Tachas Achad Hasichin, under one of the bushes. Vatelach, she sits down at a distance. Why? Ki amra ale reb mos hayaled. I don't want to see the baby, that the baby dies. Vateisha mineged, vatis kolav etev. And she sits and she starts crying. She puts the baby aside. She cannot bear to see the baby die. And here it's referred to as this child. This child is called a yeled. And what's interesting is that in our story, go back now to our story, so she has a bein, she has a son, and then she puts the yeled in the basket. She puts the yeled, and you kind of wonder, is this similar to the story of Hagar and Yishmael? And Yocheved refers to Moshe as a yeled, which again is the same term, and maybe also, we don't know this woman's name. And we know this woman's name is Yocheved, but we don't know this woman's name. And maybe you sort of feel that she's anonymous because we're not so proud of her actions. And perhaps you could look at the story as simply a mother placing the baby away and throwing a Hail Mary pass and not expecting anything's going to happen. And that's it.
But she didn't do that.
Right? What'd she do?
She stayed there. Her daughter stayed there. They watched that baby.
Right. So that's an interesting question, right? In other words, Is it was this in compliance? All right. So the sister, his sister stays, and was that in concert with the mother? Maybe. No, it might be. That's interesting. Yeah. By the way, you know who's not in the picture. By the way, you know who's not in the picture.
Yeah, the father.
Yeah, dad. The dad is just not in the picture, and you kind of wonder where he is, and you kind of wonder, is he? You know, where does he fit into all this? Baruch, you want to say something?
The question is, did they know something about, Paro's daughter, something about her personality?
So that's a good question. Right, so we'll try to explore that. So one option, you could look at the story, and I don't think it's the preferred reading, but you could look at the story. Simply, she gives up, and maybe the sister acts on her own, maybe. But, I don't know, I think there's a lot of pieces, a lot of hints, a lot of clues that may indicate that maybe what she does is intentional. There's another option is that maybe Yocheved always planned on saving her son, and she creates a scenario with the greatest likelihood of survival.
What's so, also interesting, nothing to do with this really, is that 3 months after he's born, if he's born on 7th of Adar,
right.
3 months afterwards comes out Shavuos.
Interesting.
That's 3 months. She waited for 3 months. It comes out to.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, that's what they'll do with that. Ah, it's a good word. So if you look at. So what happens initially? So, first of all, the beginning of the parak is a little strange. Vayelech ish mibeis Levi, a man goes, he takes a woman. So the Malbim just points out, lo hodia po miha ya ish ma shem ishto. No, but we don't know the name of the man. We don't know the name of the woman. U'mechorchim anu lavol kabas chazal, and we're forced to accept the position of chazal because the language is strained. Vayelech ish umeis levi, vayikach es bas levi. She'achar she'gazar par. What does it mean that she went and she took? Where'd he go? Right. The pasuk says a man went and he took a bas levi. So what does it mean he went and he took? So what's the lashon of vayelech? So that's why Malbim says, I like Chazal's explanation. Shachar shegazer paro al hashlochas habadim, that after paro said you have to throw in all the boys, amnu kula begarshis nishoseim, that everyone went and they started divorcing their wives. Vamrele bito gezeras chakashim mishal paro, and Amram's daughter Miriam said, your decree is harsher than Paro's because he only wants to get rid of the boys, and you, by separating from your wife, you are losing the possibility of having daughters. So what happens? Amav hechzir ishto. So he went. That's ve'elach. Ve'chenas ha'kulam. And they all get back together. Perusha ki'acha she'yata k'zeras melech ha'kol yitzol b'tzchana gedola. After the decree, all the Jewish people, all the Hebrews, were in a major danger. Because this order was for everyone, including the Jewish people. They find a little child who's hidden. He's chayav misa. If you're hiding a baby, so then that's the death penalty. And the Egyptians are constantly chasing, searching their houses. So what can they do? There's not only a danger they're going to kill the babies, the families will be at stake, will be in danger. So then they separate. Husbands separate from their wives. This is known to the Egyptians. And they stopped checking their houses. Because they knew that the husbands separated from their wives. This lasted a number of months. Until Amram said, I'm going back to my wife. He took her in return. So he did it, so everyone did it. So basically, at least according to the Malbim, he says that basically this was a danger. You can understand now why she doesn't want to keep the baby, to hide the baby, because it's not only an issue what's going to be with the baby, what's going to be with the family. Because if they're found hiding a baby, then it's going to be a problem for the family as well. However, the baby is born, and then she sees that he's kitofu, he's good. Doesn't mean the baby's good. Every mother who gives birth to a baby thinks the baby is good. So it doesn't mean kitofu. So Rashi says something very miraculous. The smali habayis kula ora. The house was filled with light. The Rashbam says that maybe why the light? Because where else in where is the first time where we find that something was tov?
In the Breshit,
very good, right. So the Rashbam points out. It's not simply Rashi saying, oh, the house filled with light. It's Rashi's bothered. What's this language, ki tov? Where else do we find the term tov? And then the Rashbam points out, V'yaro kimas kol asher asav, v'hine tov ma'ot. So, and then in the beginning, in Breshit, when he created the light, the or, it was tov. Yistakov, v'hive kol masav, chol pulav shah asayim, mish lakin shum devar, v'hine kum yafim tukanim. Avkan, l'fisha moshe, nolad. So now he has another possibility. The Rashbam is going to try to answer why she hides him for 3 months, right? So so you could either say kitov, right? Kitov, house full of light. She knew this baby was special. Or the Rashbam wants to connect the fact that the baby was kitov and the fact that she could hide the baby. How do you connect the two? He said that Moshe was born after 6 months. And lefich yachlat spino shosh chadashim. Therefore, she could hide him for 3 months. Shemitzim ha'yuvakin lemuberes l'sof tisha chadashim. The Egyptians, maybe they knew when the mothers were pregnant, they would search after she was 9 months pregnant. So what was kitofu? So the Rashbam says she saw the baby that kitofu yafahu kigamar simanav sarov etziparnav kamo shinim bini avamos. She saw he was a preemie, but he was fully formed. And then she hit him another 3 months. So again...
And he was circumcised.
It was another possibility. He was circumcised, right? It's another possibility. But the point is that you have a situation, you have a story where you have the... It's dangerous to have a baby. You have... But she sees this baby is born. There's something special, something unique, something different about the baby. Okay? And remember, and her husband is the Gadol Hador. He's the leader. And there's something special about this baby. And then, at some point, though, it's a little difficult to hide the baby. So why is it difficult to hide the baby? The Nitziv says, well, you could either say the Rashbam, that maybe now 9 months. So that's it. They're gonna be knocking on the doors. The Nitziv says, Shirasa Mashkichim Dovkim Dalse Beisa. She sees that they're knocking on her doors. Rav Hirsch wants to say that he was much louder. The baby, the first 3 months, he was only whimpering, but after 3 months, it's bituav, it's a hala. He's crying more loudly. So she couldn't stop. She couldn't hide him anymore. He couldn't be a secret anymore. So it got to the point where she realized it's too dangerous to keep him home. Not only dangerous for Moshe, but it's dangerous for the family, anyone who's harboring the baby. But she also realizes that he's something special. As I mentioned, the father is nowhere in the picture. Maybe he was simply too scared to do anything. Maybe the father is like Hagar, not the mother. So the question is, what's the best method of survival for baby Moshe? So Rav Hirsch will give sort of three points about this. So first of all, people don't study the story carefully, thinks he put him in the river and there's a boat and it's flowing in the river and it's dangerous, just throws him in the water and say, whatever happens, happens. No, she put him by the reeds, by the side of the river. Rav Hirsch points out in Pasuk here, he says, Al hayor bitzido shel hanahar, by the side of the river. Makom shememav einam amukim, the place where the water's not so deep. Yitachen gam benare halyon me'al la'ir benilos halyon, because he says the Upper Nile, Makom Shemav Terev, Nidchalu Mizuma Teir, it's much cleaner water. Shema Hinicha Ha'emes Yalda Bekavanah B'makom Zeb, and they should Haya Naki Yoser. She wanted to put him in an area where there's clean water. Why? Bibnei Sheshimish Gam Kemakom Rachza. This is where people would bathe, women would bathe. Vulai Haya Zeh Shetach Shehukza L'Rachzas Nashim. So without focusing on the daughter of Paro, you can simply say that, you know, women bathe more than men, I guess. The women were more interested in bathing. This is a clean water. This is where the women bathe, the mothers bathed, and this was perhaps a mother would have mercy on the baby and would save the baby and raise the baby as her own. If she would keep the baby in her house, so then forget about it, the Egyptians would find it. But if an Egyptian mother finds the baby, she might have rachmano, she might have pity on the baby. It was strategically placed. And by the way,
I'm sure they studied the area before, I'm sure a couple of days before she decided to put it right there. So, Yochevet and Miriam, they're watching to see maybe that's a good place for to put the teva.
Yeah.
They didn't put it back.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yes, I think it was strategically placed, and maybe also the sister Miriam is watching, so that if the Egyptian who finds the baby won't suspect that an adult woman watching is the mother of the baby. In other words, you can see that maybe the Egyptian will take the baby as her own, and Miriam will find out who it is. She's just a young sister, a kid. But if a mother's watching, then she's like, no, it's not going to be my baby. So that might have been a strategic move. So again, one way of understanding the best method of survival is to place baby Moshe by the side of the river. Another possibility is, I think Baruch pointed out, maybe specifically where he thought the daughter of Paro would bathe. And again, we have to ask ourselves, is the fact that the daughter of Paro found the baby, was that coincidental, or was that strategically planned by Yocheved? So the Midrash points out, V'teret bas Paro lirchotz al yaor. The Midrash says, she yarda lirchotz migilule aviha. She went down to bathe from the idols of her father. So already the Midrash is pointing out that she doesn't think like her father. She's not idolatrous. By the way, if you hold that Shifra and Pua, right, the two midwives who reject Paro's command to kill the baby boys, if you say they're Yocheved and Miriam, so then already they are aware. In other words, if they're in contact with Paro, they know where the daughter of Paro bathes. They know the ins and outs, and perhaps they're also familiar or aware that maybe the daughter of Paro is someone who would challenge her father's command. I mean, think about it. You know, someone can make a command, and who's not going to listen? Everyone's going to listen. Who won't listen? Yeah, the daughter will. The family will. Like, yeah, you don't have to. Right? So maybe if indeed Shifra and Pua or Yocheved and Miriam, they knew the household of Paro, they knew about his family maybe, and they are aware that maybe the daughter of Paro would have pity on the boy, and maybe they knew that she was the only one who wasn't afraid of Paro. So that's another possibility, as well, that we could understand here. Now, I think there's one other way to understand this also. Why did Paro say specifically that all the baby boys should be thrown in the river? Because his astrologer said that what? That the Messiah for the Hebrews, his downfall is going to be with water, right? So we know, what was Moshe's downfall? When he hit the rock to bring out water. But the Egyptian astrologer said that the Hebrew Messiah, his downfall will be water. So therefore, we have to throw we have to throw all the baby boys in the water. So what happened? So look what Rabbeinu Bechaya writes. He says, "Vatikach lo tevas gomer lo letola so v'hatzala so." He did it to save him. V'davar chachma so yocheved ibo, and she did something that was wise. V'tachpula gedola shenichato al sfasa yor. It was something wise, a great device that she placed him by the banks of the river. Because the astrologer will say, what happened? Ah, the Messiah has been thrown into the water. That once they say this, then what will happen? Paro will annul his decree. They're not going to say, oh, the baby's in the water. Let's go see what happened. They're going to think that the baby was thrown in the river, and that's it. They took care of it. No Messiah, no Savior. So we see here that we can look at Yocheved as providing, always planning on saving her son and creating a scenario with the greatest likelihood of survival. Placing her by the side of the river so that a mother will find him, or maybe specifically placing him in a place where she knows the daughter of power is going to bathe, because she's the one who's most likely going to, either she's someone who will have Rachmanus on Moshe, she's someone who's not idolatrous like her father, she's someone who will reject his decree, and also placing him in the water, sort of to then they're going to say, the Messiah is dead, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. And I think that this story clearly demonstrates the divine guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you think about it, in the very first chapter of Shmos, Paro has this plan of back-breaking labor. What happens? That backfires. V'kasher yanu osam, ken yirbe v'ken yifrotz. The more that they were oppressed, to decrease their numbers, what happened? They simply increased. Paro had a plan of hidden genocide. That didn't work either. Now he had a plan of throwing babies in the river. It actually backfired, if you think about it. It backfired in two different ways. First, he said, we're going to throw the Messiah into the river. What happened? The Messiah was actually drawn from the Nile River. The exact opposite. And in fact, what was his name? Moshe. Ki min ha-mayim ishisihu. You, Paro, you want to throw the babies in the river? You want to throw the Messiah in the river? He will actually be taken out of the river. The exact opposite of what you wanted to do. And also, Paro's own flesh and blood. Paro decrees, kill all the babies, the baby boys. Paro's own flesh and blood, his daughter, defied his evil plan. And in a sense, she continued the work of the midwives who defied his earlier plan. And incidentally, Paro wants to destroy the Hebrews, and his very own daughter, his flesh and blood, becomes the mother of the instrument of Egypt's destruction. So what you have here is you have an anonymous woman against all odds, having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeing something special, and creating the greatest chance of survival. And in response, the big picture, the macro picture, everything that Paro tries to do backfires, mida keneged mida. And you read the story in hindsight and you see the Yad Hashem with us, at least with Klal Yisrael at this point, as difficult as it was, you still see the Yad Hashem in a more hidden way, until obviously is revealed when, towards the end of this week's Parsha and the beginning of next week's Parsha.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Rabbi.